Please rise. Let's sing the hymn number 327 in preparation for the preaching of the Lord. Scripture's reading came from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Please open your Bible and let's read the Word of God. Acts chapter 3, starting in the verse number 1 to the number 10. Acts 3, 1 to 10. This is the word of the living God, and says, Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, they stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. This is what the scripture said. The book of Acts starts with a resume of what happened in the Gospels. Christ has been resurrected by the dead and was raised under the apostles' eyes. The book's main idea is that God, Christ, continues to work through the disciples and through His church. They perform many signs, the apostles, and miracles to prove that Christ was still working through them for everyone. This special miracle that we saw in Acts 3 is one of the most impressive ones that we will find in the scriptures. We will see that this miracle was used to open an opportunity to preach for many people. The verses 11 to 13 and in the chapter 4, 1 to 4, will show us that the church grows to 5,000 after this moment. God was using this miracle to reveal His glory to the Jews, and that made the leaders of the Jews come upon them, try to stop them. They tried to stop the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, but they couldn't. The sign was so evident for all of them that they were not able to deny it. In addition to all these realities, we need to remember that Acts show us the purpose of the church. And the goal of the church is glorify Jesus, glorify the Lord. The apostles were trying to do that everywhere with their lives. They offer everything they had to the Lord, and they want to glorify and pay the price for that. We need to think about that, because to glorify the Lord's name, they show us, and the book of Acts will show us, that we need to pay a price. It's not for free. It's not so easy as many people think. The scriptures teach us that we should take our cross and follow Jesus. And that means we need to pay a price, and it's a high price. It's not so easy. But we should look to the book of Acts and see that these prices have been paid for all of the apostles of Jesus Christ and all the disciples in this book too. We can see that Peter and John, they will be arrested after this miracle. And actually, they will be arrested twice in the next chapters of the book of Acts. We will see Stephen will be murdered in chapter 6. We will see that the persecution will start in chapter 12. And many others that we don't know the name, we don't know where they come from. We just know they will be arrested and many of them will die. Many through the hands of Saul, that after will be called Paul. And the price was being paid for the church, for the apostles, for everyone. Despite of that, they didn't make those things forced. The apostles were just living their lives in an ordinary life, typically trying to glorify Jesus' name as their Savior. And observe that the portion of the scriptures we read today shows that Peter and John were going to the temple for a time to pray. It was an ordinary thing. And during the way, they found a beggar and stopped, and everything changed because of that moment. And that leads us to to the first point of this sermon that says, men ask for what their eyes can see. The apostles were going to the temple during the time of prayer. It was a common thing for a Jew because the Jewish law says that to worship God, they should be at the temple at 3 times for each day. They go in 9 a.m. to offer sacrifice. After, they go at noon to pray. And again at 3 p.m. To offer sacrifices again. And this is the moment that Peter and John went to the temple. They should offer sacrifice, but as they knew it, that Jesus Christ was the big sacrifice, they were not offering sacrifices, but just praying and using that opportunity to preach the gospel. It's interesting, observe that they continue with their committed to God, even after become a believers. If you could observe new believers today, you will see that after their conversion, they start with a strong spirit. They read the Bible many times in the day. They pray many hours in the day. They feel strong. They start to teach in the church. They are very comfortable with everything. But after some time, the modern Christian culture comes upon them and they start to pray, to eat when they are sick or when they have a big problem. And sometimes they read the scripture. I already saw this happening many times with many new believers. And that is a big problem that we have in our modern Christian culture. Because instead of continuing doing the good things that the Bible teaches, we stay like as everyone else do. We just continue with those that are not glorifying God and follow His steps. We decide, I don't know why, to trace this course in our lives. But our relationship with God, it's so crucial than eating. And eating real food. We will become sick if we don't pray. We should not just believe in that, but we should start to pray more. We need to have communion with God. And communion with God means we need to talk to Him and we need to listen His voice. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to know the Word of God, to know what He wants for us, to know what He's trying to teach us and to show us in our lives. But instead of do that, we are doing other kinds of things. We are losing time in the social media, it's like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. I know here you use SMS messages. It's different from our country. We just use WhatsApp there. But we lost a lot of time on those things. In television, series, movies, hobbies, playing golf, playing tennis, walking in a good field. Many things that we should use that time to glorify God and to find an opportunity to make relationship, a deep relationship with God. But we need to change that. And Peter and John, they didn't stop to do the right thing. They become believers and they continue to use their time to pray, to offer her lives as sacrifice to God. And that is what is happening in this text. The beggar was there in the beautiful gate asking for alms, and Peter and John was there too to offer praise to God. They were there to make their relationship stronger with God, and they had this opportunity before their eyes. Thinking about the beggar here, we have a very big contrast in this passage. We have the beautiful gate. It's an amazing gate. Flavius Josephus was a historian at that time, and he said in his writings that this was the most impressive gate of all the temple. It was easy to see gold and silver everywhere in that gate. And it's funny, the contrast here, because in the front of that gate, we find a beggar asking for money, for silver, for gold, for anything that could help him. It's a strange contrast that we still have it today in many countries. And it's a big problem that we really don't know what to do to solve this problem. In countries like Brazil, you find many of them everywhere, not only in beautiful gates, but we will see a big contrast between the life that should be lived for a believer and a life that we live in this world because sin has made damage in this world. And anything can be good again without Christ, without the salvation that only Jesus Christ can give to us. And they just went to the temple and they found this beggar, and he was asking for the thing that he learned that he should ask. The situation of this beggar is very bad. He was lame since he was born. That means he never walked before. He never had the opportunity to find a job, to work, to find a way to survive, to maintain his life. The only thing that he could do at that time in that culture, it was beg in the door of the temple. His parents probably teach him that it's the only way you can survive. You need to go there and beg. His friends, they would say the same. They didn't have other opportunity for this guy. The only option for him, it was do that. And he was doing this thing for many years. We don't know exactly how many, but we know that probably for some decades, like 20, 25 years probably, since he was young, he was there asking in the same gate for the same thing, money. It was what he thought he needed. And that is another problem that we need to observe here. Sometimes we think that we know what we need. This guy, this beggar, we don't know his name, he thought that the only option for him, it was begging for money. He didn't expect anything different from God or from everyone by his side. He was not expecting a good life or a different way of life. He was not expecting something better for him. He didn't have dreams or hope about anything. He was just waiting for the day he will die, and all of this will come to an end. It was his reality. We cannot expect anything in situations like that. And that make men, and we need to think about that, because many of us in different situations, we think about our problems as this beggar was thinking about. He was expecting for the only thing that could help him. And sometimes we expect for some things that we think it will be good for us. But many times, we will receive the same answer that his beggar received from God. He will say, no, that is not the option I want for you. That is not the goal for you. You can ask again, you can continue, you can become a beggar for God. But he will say no, because he have different plans to your life, to your family, to your church, for everything, because he knows much more than we know. And this problem will show us that the beggar was asking for something that will not change his reality. And this is the main point in this first part of the sermon. The reality we want probably is different than the reality that God wants for us. And we need to think about that, because our dreams, our goals, they need to be God's dreams and God's goals for our lives. Can you remember the introduction of this sermon? We thought about take the cross and die for ourselves to follow Jesus and to make what Jesus wants and to obey Jesus Christ. And how many commandments in the scripture we are just thinking, well, this is not for me. This is not for me. Like the last commandment that Jesus gave to his church, go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel everywhere. This is one that I know that many people, many Christians around the world are not following. And we need to think what God wants for us and what he really wants from our souls, from our body, from our family. And that leads us to the next point of this sermon that says Jesus offers us what we really need. Peter and John, they could only pass away because they didn't have any money to offer to the man. They stopped, they asked for his attention, but they could just go away. And actually, I really believe that they probably made that many times before this moment. He was there for years. And how many times Peter and John went through that gate, and how many times they saw this beggar and many other beggars around? Why they never helped him before? Why they ignore him? Well, maybe they were looking for other beggars. Maybe they were helping other of them. But we need to realize that God had prepared this moment. God had prepared the moment when Peter and John would go enter that gate and find that beggar lame from his birth. That means they were finding a man who never walked before, that everyone that already entering that gate found before, and that everyone in Jerusalem knew it. He could not walk. He cannot walk by himself. He was lame. It's impossible. Many of them already had helped him. Many of them gave money to him, offer something to him, and now they are finding this guy not as a lame anymore. Because we see in the phrase that Peter and John will say to him, because of the power of Jesus Christ. He asked for alms. And the verse 4 says, Peter and John direct their gaze for them and said, look at us. What I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. We need to think about this phrase first, and then we will talk about the miracle. But can you imagine a preacher from prosperity gospel leading with this test? I have no silver and gold. The apostles of Jesus Christ. Whoops. A big problem is appearing in this theology. How they don't have money? They are apostles of Jesus. They are the two of the most impressive ones. What is their problem? Maybe they don't have faith, enough faith. Maybe they didn't offer so many sacrifices to God, and that's why God didn't give them money and possess and a big house and a big horse or anything that they could have at that time. No, they didn't have silver and gold, but they have faith. Not a common faith. Not a faith as we have. We have faith. We pray for God. We ask for many things. We ask for those who are suffering. We ask for our goals, for our dreams. We have faith in Jesus Christ that He will save us because of the power of Jesus Christ and because of His death in the cross. But I never met someone with the faith to look to a lame guy and say, rise up and walk. And it was not rise up and walk. They told him, rise up and walk. And then Peter and John went to him and took his arms and bring him up, saying, come on, you need to walk. You don't need to expect for anything else. Just rise up and walk. And it's funny to see how Luke says that things here because he used medic language here. He says that their feet and ankles were made strong immediately. Did you already had a problem in your life that you lost movement with one of our members, like your leg or your hand? After sometimes they are stuck, you will need to go to a doctor, learn how to make the movements again, because you need to relearn everything. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have pain with those things. But for this guy, he just immediately feels strong in her legs, in his legs, and he starts to walk. But the use of the verbs here are even better. He was not just walking, but he was leaping around. He was walking and leaping and praising God because of what happened with him. It was an amazing moment. And we will see that this is not what he thought it was the best thing for him. After that, it would be interesting to see someone asking him, so, you didn't receive gold, but what did you receive? It's much better than gold, right? It's much better than those things you thought, I need that. I need money to pay my bills, to buy food, to survive better. It was impressively better than anything that his heart could ask. They found freedom. The beggar found freedom. The beggar found a different way of life. His life was completely changed because of that moment. And we need to put in a big understanding here that everything here happened because of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They made the use of this name because they knew it. Everyone should know. It's not because of Peter. It's not because of John. It's not because some work that they could make. It was only because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that is something that should change our lives. I remember once when I was pastoring a church in a countryside in Brazil. It was a very poor place. And once the elders met together and they offered a big bag full of food to a woman that was passing through a difficult times. She had 6 children. Her husband was living in another state because it was the only place he found a job. But the money was not enough for he and the family and so many kids. So the church needed to help this family. And we took the bag of food and we went to her house and we thought, that is what she needs. That is what they need. They need food to provide what they need to continue. In the right moment, we put the bag inside a table. She started to open and divide everything we give to her between 5. She took the rice, 5 small bags of rice, and we were thinking, what she's doing? The beans, the milk, everything, she made 5 small parts of each. And then she asked for each one of their children to take one of the parts and give to one neighbor. I looked to the elder that was with me and we stay scared. No, what is happening here? And now, they will have food for 3 days. But after that, we need to provide more food. We were thinking, we should make them stop or we should continue. I don't know. I don't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. And then she seated in front of us and she said, God always provides us what we need. But He teaches us that we could glorify His name, sharing everything we receive with our neighbors. Many of us never had this situation. Many of us never lived in a poor moment in life like this family. But it's funny to see how she decided to glorify God with almost nothing. It was everything she had. And that is the goal here. What they have is important. Peter and John had what is most important in this life. They had Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were preaching Jesus Christ and they give to the lame what they had, the best thing they had. And it's easy to think about Ed because he started to walk, so it was something impressive. But we should apply these things in all the ordinary things in our life. We will not see people leaping, lames leaping in close to us because we don't have the signs and the miracles that the apostles had. Sproul remind us that happens 4 times in all the scripture time. First, with Moses, when we received the law, For the second time, with the prophets to show to God's people that they should adore, praise just the name of God and not the other gods, as we had with Elisha. And after that, it happens with Jesus Christ, many signs and miracles, and in the last time, with the apostles. This is not happening everywhere. We are not seeing lambs walking and leaping into the church in Brazil or in India or in Europe. No, this is not happening anymore. That doesn't mean God doesn't have power to do that. Just says that God used His way and He will continue to doing as He wants. And many times we will need to lead with big problems in our lives that a miracle could change everything. But God wants to make us better through our pains and our suffering. But we need to see what is happening here. What I have, I gave to you. What they have is Jesus. And they offer Him Jesus. Maybe your eyes are looking for the lame, leaping, walking. But this is not the best thing He received that day. Because He probably, of course, for sure, He died again. And He's not leaping around anymore. He's not walking around anymore. Because one day, the dead will come for every man in this world. But the lame receives something that could give him life even after this life. Can you remember the image that John gave us in Revelation, when he says, when he saw the people of God walking through this world to the heavens? They went to heaven, they receive a white cloak, they go in direction of the throne where everyone that already dead in Jesus Christ are praising the name of the Lord and glorifying His name. Today, the lame is there. He's praising God with all the brothers and sisters from all the eras because he received the best gift someone could give to him. And that leads us to the last point of this sermon that says, Jesus, He is powerful to save and set us free. Jesus changed the beggar's life. And many people around Him saw the power of Jesus Christ through this miracle. The church grew from 3,000 to 5,000 in one day with one miracle in front of one temple, 2,000 people, they become believers. For what? Which is the purpose of that? Of course it is glorify Jesus Christ because He can save us and set us free. He can save our lives from ourselves or from the problems of this world, the problems that could come into our lives. He can save us from the devil, from the temptations, from disease, from everything. He's the only answer in this world for everything we could see. Only Jesus Christ, He is the only one that we should find salvation and the only one of whom we should try to find it and follow His steps. For the beggar, It was a totally freedom. If you remember the law, the civil law of Israel, lambs were not able to go inside of the temple because they were considered imperfect. So for 40 years, the lame were in the door of the temple, in the beautiful gate, but he never before went into the temple. And the freedom came with a miracle. And we will see in the last verses of this text, he leaped into the temple and he started to praise God before everyone that was there. He received freedom to go close to Christ, to his Lord, to his Savior. Now he have access to God because he found Jesus Christ as his own Lord. He received freedom from his lame too. He would be able to walk everywhere to say about the gospel, to say about what Jesus Christ made with him. He probably became one of the most important missionaries by that time. And I really think that the masters of the law, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they tried to kill him too. If they did that with Jesus, if they did that with other men in the past, why they would leave this guy free in Jerusalem? Saying for everyone, Jesus Christ had made a miracle in my life. He saved me. Now I can walk, now I can testify that He is the only God, that He is the Lord Almighty, that He was died, but He raised, and He's living in the heavens. They will not accept that. Actually, in the chapter 4, we will see these guys, the Sadducees, trying to close the mouth of the disciples. They tried to make them stop. You cannot preach that anymore. You must stop, or we will take you. We will put you in jail. Maybe we will kill you if possible. They made all of this with Peter and John, and they didn't receive the bless that this beggar received. So, we can see that this freedom has a purpose. We need to remember that everything God gave to us and everything He's giving to us have a purpose. And this purpose is glorify His name. We should pray with our hearts filled of joy when we have food in front of our eyes, to eat with our children, with our families, because this is a miracle. I know that in America, it's very common to find those things, and you have a social thing, very good, elaborated, and we can find ways to survive here, and this is very good, but it still is a big blessing. Many countries around the world, even if you have money, you will not find food in the supermarket to buy the food. In many countries, like in the Latin America, like Venezuela, Argentina, you can go with money, with dollars, to the market, and you will not find anything to buy it. Doesn't matter if you have the money. You will not be able to offer food to your family. And sometimes we live like this being a normal thing. Well, every day we will have food. Many things can change. Many things can make our lives worse. We don't know about the future, but we should know that today we should glorify the name of God with everything He's giving to us. The freedom we have, it's funny, we pray, we pray today for Shadash and Guden. They are in Turkey right now, probably preaching the gospel too, leading a service, but they cannot praise the name of God as we can. The doors of this church are open. We don't have anyone in the door trying to protect everyone that is inside. This is happening not just in Turkey, but in many countries around the world. In China, many believers are going in dark places to read the Bible and to pray with the saints of God. We have totally freedom. We are recording this service. We are saying to everyone, we are printing our bulletin. We are free to do everything we can. We want. This should be seen as a big blessing in our lives. But sometimes we think this is not a blessing, but just something that we will have every day. We need to come back to the price again. We need to come back to the beginning of this sermon to remember that these guys now, they will pay the price to glorify Jesus Christ. They went to the temple. Peter and John went with the beggar to the temple. And they started to talk to everyone. Jesus Christ saved his life. He was lame, and now he's walking and leaping around and praising God. Praising God, not Peter and John. No one was trying to say, Peter, you are a healer. You are the one who makes his life better. Let's follow Peter. You will not see these words coming from the beggar. He was praising God because of Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. And he went to the temple and everyone stayed scared with the situation. Jesus Christ saved the beggar, saved the lame. Jesus Christ made him walk and leap into the temple. But Jesus Christ was dead. How can he do that? It's impossible. He was dead. Maybe many of them were in the Gethsemane that day. Maybe some of them saw Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And now, Jesus Christ is making miracles around Jerusalem. This is something big. Everything changed with that. A lot of people, many of the people that were there came, and when they saw a miracle that no one could say, it doesn't happen. Because all of them knew at the beggar, they receive the assurance they need to believe in Jesus Christ. When we preach the gospel, those things just happen around us. I can remember a situation with a very good friend of mine. We grow up together in the church in Brazil, and when he made like 16, 17 years old, he started to follow his own desires. He was not going to the church anymore. He was not praying. He was not believing in Jesus. And he started to go deep in his desires. And every week he was dating a different woman. And he was trying some legal drugs or something like that. And he goes deep in that life. And he was not talking to me anymore because I was too Christian to him. And I need to say, I already had give up of him. I was not expecting any transformation anymore. He became a liberal. He started to defend abortion, the woke agenda, all of this. And every time I saw him, I thought, well, it's done. He cannot be saved anymore. I was already in America a few months ago, and he started to send many messages to me, asking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. I was scared. What is happening here? Of course, I started to answer some of the questions. I started to talk to him. And then I just asked him, what happened? Why are you trying to know about Jesus and the gospel? And he just told me, Jesus Christ found me in the darkness. Now, he's in Facebook and Instagram, being a very Christian guy, quoting all the preachers that you know and we know in Brazil. He's against abortion. He's against the woke agenda. And everyone is hating him because of that. But he knows he's in the right steps. God can change everything. God can bring a liberal to a Christian way, to become a believer. This is a miracle today too. I don't know if you realize that. It's a big miracle. God is doing His work around the world. He's using normal people as we are. He's using our testimony about what God made with us. He's using your preaching, even if it's a simple preaching. You don't need to use good words, impressive words, academic words. You just need to preach the gospel, to teach about Jesus Christ and His salvation, and you will see with your eyes God changing lives. Because He do that. He does that. He is powerful to save and to set us free. This is the power of Jesus Christ, and this is what He's doing around the world today. And we will conclude thinking just about those things. Face it with this truth that we saw today, we need to ask ourselves if we have met Christ as we go on with our lives in this world. We need to know if He is really changing our way of life. It's very good that we are here today to praise God, to glorify His name, to follow His commandment about the Sabbath, about the Sunday. It's amazing that we are here, but we need to remember that this is not all about the gospel. We need to think if we are doing as Peter and John and many of the believers in the book of Acts, as this beggar, if we are taking our cross and following Him, if we are paying the price to follow Jesus Christ. It's not just a blessing. It's not just receive salvation and go on filling our hearts free from devil, from our sins, being justified, being adopted by God. This is not all the gospel. And if we read the scriptures, we know that we need to go and act to glorify Jesus Christ. We usually know how to do that in our house. It's what we do with our children, right? In family worship, every week, we try to teach them about the gospel. We need to do that because we have a covenant. And this covenant says that our children belong to God. But they need to learn about the gospel. If they don't listen about Jesus Christ, how they will believe? Of course they will not. And our neighbors, our family outside of our house, our cousins, our brothers and sisters, how they will believe if we don't preach, if we don't give them the testimony of what God is doing, what God have made in the past, about how He can save our lives. God could do that if He want. But He don't want it. He already said in His scriptures, and He told us, you should go make disciples and preach the gospel everywhere. And we will see the miracle of God happening around us. You don't need to go to another country to do that. If you walk around the neighborhood of this church, you will see many people around us that need the gospel. And we need miracles happening in their lives. And may God will bring them to the body of Christ. We need to continue glorifying God in our job. We need to work not for us, not for the salary, but for God. Everything we do, we need to do to glorify Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. We need to think about that. We need to give our lives and ask God that may He could help us in this work, in this job, to glorify His name in our lives and proclaim His gospel for everyone. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Let's talk to our God. Our merciful God, make us see the power of Jesus Christ and believe in Him as our God, Savior, and Lord. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may proclaim His name and glorify our Lord with our life. We ask all of this, gracious Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church.